Okay, it's the 19th, and is the parking lot starting to thin out a little bit? No. Oh, yeah, it is. At least the cars I've seen. Okay, we have an exam on Thursday. It's the Introduction to Investments module, Overview of Investment Universe, so to speak. Make sure you can do those one or two or three sentence descriptions of the different types. Risk versus return, short-term investments. And then mutual funds, make sure you go through the share classes, the types of mutual funds. We can review those today. And today we're going to do appropriate, suitable investments that that you're going to hate. But that's okay. You got to start somewhere, right? And so bring a Scantron, one page of handwritten notes. Right, well, handwritten notes are what we want. And so quickly, let's go over okay, if you haven't turned the assignment, turn it in. We want you to do it. I accept late assignments. I know some other instructors get angry at me for that, but I don't care. Yeah, bring your own Scantron. And they say, you're not teaching them responsibility. I said, don't worry, they'll learn fast enough when they get fired the first time. And when money's involved, yeah, people learn quickly. So yeah, bring a Scantron. You don't need a calculator. No calculations. Next exam, yes. Where do you get a Scantron? At the bookstore. They have them for what? They're like $1.50 for six, $1.60 or something like that for five or something like that. Yeah, about 25 cents, 30 cents a piece. Yes. The regular one, 50-ohm one, it will work. Although the big one works, but it just costs more. Don't get the big one. Get the regular one. I like that big. What else? Oh, yeah, one page of handwritten notes. People say, oh, he's so nice. No, it's not having to do with being nice. If you organize all your ideas, organize all the topics that we're going to just be covered on the exam, on a single sheet of paper, don't bring in a poster board, right? 8.5 by 11. Did I show you what the folks at the prison did? I showed the other class. Yeah, I didn't show you yet. Those guys are very, very creative. And so it was a single sheet with all these other sheets attached to it. Okay. So, if you do that, you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. You are studying. You're organizing your thoughts, making sure you've covered everything. So I do that to get you to do it when you go to the university, because are they going to allow you to do that at the university? No, sink or swim, sucker. Okay, now if you didn't bring yours, here's some extra. I mean, some people kept them with you, right? We're going to go over these today. But first, we need a good joke. Anybody got a good joke? Kathleen has a good joke. I should have known. Let's hear, Kathleen.
If I
Did you hear that? It's hard to explain puns to kleptomaniacs because they always take everything literally. Do you understand that? That's really, I have really bad jokes. Yeah. Everybody get one hit so far? Okay. Yes. Okay. Well, it's just some of you are going to have to share. Some people have to share. I apologize. Okay, so let's get restarted. Where were we, Payano? We had gotten up to the fund families. A family of funds exists when you have many funds within that company, and now there are dozens of families. And your assignment is to go in and take a look at different mutual funds along with the TSP. We'll go through that one. But on the class website, are just six of the fund families. Vanguard's the biggest, Fidelity and American, and then second. T. Rowe Price and Franklin are very good companies. Dodge & Cox is an awesome company, but they're very strange. We went through this, right? And so you're going to download two annual reports, and then do the research. So you look at the assignment sheet, It's in your packet, and you're going to find as much as you can. So some of it will be in the annual report, and some of these annual reports are like watching paint dry. They're pretty boring. Some are more useful. And then also go to Yahoo, Morningstar, Lipper, the web, the library, and do as much research as you can and find as much as you can. And as we said in the previous assignments, the information is not as important as the process. The process of discovering, and it's like, I don't know if this analogy sounds good, but it's like an onion. You're just peeling away layers because they're just so, see, some of these things are so vast and complex. Others are not so much. But these are just six of the fun families. There are dozens more. You don't have to limit yourself to these ones. But these are four of these, I think, are really fabulous. Two are okay. I won't tell you which ones. Okay, so that's the one assignment. The other assignment is the thrift savings plan. Had anybody, was it one or two people were in the thrift savings plan from their federal days? Anybody? Nobody was in the military or anything? Okay, well, if you ever go in the military or work for the federal government, your 401k plan is going to be the thrift savings plan. So we want you to research that. Turns out it's actually a pretty good 401k plan. It's actually well run by a company called BlackRock, which actually is one of the biggest mutual fund companies, but it's actually the biggest money manager in the world. So check it out. Questions, thoughts, ideas, comments? Okay. So back to the slideshow. So then we asked the question, how do you pick a mutual fund? And we looked at just this one fund. So if you open it up, we went and saw how well this one company has done. Do you have one? Do you have one? One of these handouts?
Oh, no.
Can you sit next to somebody who does? Or share with somebody who does? Yeah, share with that front. And we saw that if we have a long-term perspective. Oh, is it an extra? There's an extra one. Okay, great. If we have a long-term perspective, we can do very, very well. In this case, this guy's done about 12%. Now, I want you to open up. I don't have one myself. Open up to page, is it 15?
What is the 12%?
That's the annual return. Okay, let's go open it up again. Open up to the centerfold. Open up to the centerfold. And the industry, you're going to see this when you start researching. The industry uses $10,000. I don't know why. I guess what the SEC decided on. If you had invested $10,000 in this guy 10 years ago, 20 years ago, a million years ago, this is how much you would have. And then they give you an average annual return. And I'm not sure if anybody's reading the book, but there's a geometric average and an average average. Forget the geometric. We're going to do the average annual because that's what everybody else does. This particular mutual fund, since 1934, has done 12%. But we showed that it's never 12% in 1 year, right? It's 17 minus 4, 22 minus 12. It's the standard deviation, the variance, is quite large. Does this all look familiar? Okay, good. So now let's turn to the next page. Okay, yeah, the benefit of time. In the short term, so turn to page 15. I go to one more page over. Turn to page 15. You'll see these. They used to be pie charts, but now they're these donut strange things. But if you had invested for just 1 year and then looked at what you had 1 year later, there's about a one-third chance, right? One-third chance that it's going to be down every third year, every fourth year, on average. It's never 1, 2, 3 down, 1, 2, 3. It doesn't work that way. But if you put money away in this guy, 1 year later, you come back, there's about a 1 in 3 chance that you've lost money. But if you just extend your time horizon to 3 years, if you simply think longer term, it goes from 1 in 3 down to about 1 in 6, 1 in 7. If you go to 5 years, it goes down to 1 in 20, is it? 8%? No, like 1 in 16 or so, 17. Not bad, right? And if you just think long term, 10 years or longer, There's never been a 10-year period where you lost money. Are you with me? Understand? And that's what we have to do when we think about stocks. You might listen to people on the talking heads or watch these things about you're going to beat the market, you're going to get in there, and you're going to buy and sell and buy and sell. And you might do it. Good luck. But it's not likely. You're likely to get hammered by simple volatility, and then the emotions kick in. Questions, thoughts? Okay, now the other side of the handout, the foldout, page 13. So go to the other side of the centerfold, page 13. You'll hear people say, "Now's not a good time to invest." Right? Now's not a good time to invest because the market's been volatile or we've lost a lot of money. When is it a good time to invest? People believe it's a good time to invest when the prices are going up 100%. That's, it's a good time to invest now. Is it too late to get in? Here is an example, and this guy, they call him Louis the Loser or something like that. There's another guy, George Genius, but they don't have a name for him. He had $10,000 in the last 20 years to invest every year, 10 grand. How many people have that here? 10 grand. If you do, congratulations. But he put in $10,000 on the worst day every year, the day the market peaked. The other guy put $10,000 on the day the market hit its bottom. You see the difference? And you'd think, well, the guy who hit the bottom, he's going to do a whole lot better than the guy who hit the top every year. And the answer is, yeah, he does better, but not a whole lot better. What's the difference? They both put in $200,000, and the guy on the left has $446. The guy on the right has $555. So is it really that big a difference, the loser and the winner? Over time, if you keep a long-term perspective, no, it's not that big a difference. And if you're like most of us working grunts, do you have $10,000 to put in any one day? Are you here at Southwestern? Yes. No, you're going to be putting $50, $100 a month away. Every month you're going to be putting from your 401k paycheck or your Roth IRA from your checking account. And maybe you'll get some bonus or something like that. But you're going to not be picking the worst day, the best day. You're going to be picking the average day over the long term. And that's what we call dollar cost averaging. We'll get back to that in a minute. Okay, so now I want you to turn to page, did we go through this? Page 2 and 3? Turn to page 2 and 3. And we'll discuss bonds in detail later on when we get past stocks. But you will hear people say, when you retire, you need to be in bonds. Stocks are just too darn risky. Can you share with her here? Stocks are just too darn risky. And that used to be true 50, 60 years ago when people lived 2 years after retirement. They retire at 62 and die at 64. Or maybe they didn't even make it to retirement, 65. But now people are living far longer. So the truth is they need some kind of equity. They need some kind of ownership. They need some kind of growth. And so we see two couples. I don't like these pictures because the one couple, they're not happy, right? No, and the other couple, they're happy. But this couple on the left, they put everything into bonds. And you notice that every year they got the same amount of income. Right? Bonds are fixed. We know how much money we're going to get. That's why we call them fixed. Assuming that there's no default or any hanky-panky going on, you're going to get a certain amount of money. Whereas the other couple put their money into the stock market, into this particular mutual fund, and notice that their income varied, right? Some years it went up, some years it went down. But look at the end result. At the end, these people still have their $200,000. These people have $300,000. So they had some growth involved. Now, it's not an either-or situation, and we'll take a look at balance funds later on. In fact, we could do that today if you're interested. But here are two. Mostly, you're going to want some bonds and some stocks in retirement. Any questions on that? And here's the last thing is cool. In the last 20-year period, stocks have not done that much better than bonds. They've done better than bonds, and they always do. In fact, they always have. Some 20-year periods, they've done a lot better than bonds. But in all of the 20-year periods, stocks have beaten bonds of this mutual fund. And we'll see why that is later on. Okay, we'll discuss that later on. Now, I'll turn to page 4. And we'll take a look at what's inside as of December 31st, 2017. The 2019 version hasn't come out yet. So you see these companies. Do you recognize most of these companies? Most of them? Yeah? Who's the first one? AbbVie. That's a drug company, AbbVie. You might take their drugs. You don't even know who they are. But most all the other companies. Any other companies you don't really know? Amgen, another biotechnology company, another drug company, Amgen, make a lot of diagnostic tools. You know, when they take your blood, Amgen is one of the companies that analyzes it. They also have drugs. Accenture. Accenture is I should know more about them, but they're an internet-based company that does business-to-business stuff. They're internet-based. They're an internet company. High-tech company, but you and I don't use their products. Businesses do, Accenture. They're an interesting... I mean, I've read a few things about them. I should know more about them. But for the most part, you know these companies, right? They're large cap, we call them. Large companies, they have the roots deep in the economy. Are there some sexy-looking companies on the list there? Yeah, a few. Who are the sexy companies? Rolls-Royce? Well, I guess it's because it's so prestigious, but no, they're old school. You know, they make engines, right? They make cars. What do you mean by sexy? Like an Apple or a Facebook or a Titter or Google, you know. Who do they have? They have Coca-Cola. They have Chevron. Medtronic, who makes pacemakers and other medical equipment. So as we move through the semester, we're going to see sexy companies that are on the cover of GQ with the beautiful hair and the teeth. And then we're going to see boring companies that have been around for decades and have their roots deep in the economy. And I'm going to do my best to show you that for every one sexy company, you should have at least four or five boring companies. Right, because they don't blow up in your face. They won't make you rich overnight. But assuming the world doesn't end, they'll make you rich. Cool? Okay, so now what about market downturns? We saw on Thursday, last Thursday, that there are times when your $1.2 million becomes $800,000, your $47 million, your $70 million becomes $47 million, So what do you do about those? Okay, this is where we were, right? This is where we were last week. Nod your head yes, or go, I don't know what the hell you're talking. When you guys get really quiet, it scares me. Okay, it scares me because I think, they don't understand a word I'm saying. Should I shut up? What should I do here? Okay, dollar cost averaging. We've already referred to this. And I've racked my brain coming up with a better name. That's a dumb name. Isn't it dollar cost averaging? It doesn't really say much. But I haven't been able to come up with anything better, and that doesn't mean you might not be able to do. But dollar cost averaging is so cool. Why? Because it takes the emotion out, the trickery, the should I do it now or should I wait? Could the market go down more? Could it go up more? Yeah, it could go down more. It could go up more. That's a real cool thing. People they know I'm teach this stuff. I'm a stock program invested. They say, what's the market going to do? What's the market going to do? I say, it's going to go up and down. And they go, well, I knew that. So why'd you ask me? So here's the cool thing about dollar cost average. No matter what happens, this is what my wife a long time ago. She was terrified of stocks. She goes, well, why are we investing in stocks? I said, look, because with the way we invest, there's always good news. No matter what happens, you wake up in the morning, you open up the newspaper or whatever, go online, the market's up, good news! Yay! Because now your account is worth more. Your $100 is now $100.20 or whatever. The market is down. Good news. Right? How can that be good news? That's right. You want to buy when things are on sale, right? And so your next month, you're going to get more shares at a lower price when the $50 or $100 comes out of your paycheck or checking account. In fact, you want the market to crash if you just... If you're just starting investing, you want it to... You know, people want to run out the door when you hear say that. But no, you don't understand. When do people run in the doors of JCPenney's and Macy's? When they raise their prices 100% or lower their prices 50%? The stock market's exactly the opposite. People wait until the market go way up and they go, ooh, quick. And then when it goes down 20%, 30%, 40%, 50%, they go, oh, no, no, no. It could go down more. Yeah, it could go down more. It could go up more, too. So here's something I hope you'll memorize, and I'll ask you again later on when we come back to dollar cost averaging and diversification and after we've gone through stocks and then bonds. Your average cost per share should be lower than your average price per share. Now, what the hell does that mean? Because you're buying fewer shares when the prices are high, you're buying more shares when the prices are low, your average cost per share should be lower than your average price per share. Now, is it going to turn a lousy investment into a profit? If it keeps going down and down and down and down, and you go, ooh, cool, I'm getting more shares. No, it's not a guarantee. But it just takes so much of the emotion and scariness out of investing. We just hold on. You know, we have to do our research, especially with mutual funds, because that's the hardest part is deciding which mutual fund to invest in. And we just set it on autopilot. Every paycheck, money comes out of our checking, our paycheck or our checking account into our 401k, Roth IRA, regular account. So now we're going to take a look at some hypotheticals. Most mutual fund companies have a system for running what are called hypotheticals. They're also called illustrations. In fact, in the life insurance world, they almost always call them illustrations. They'll also be called in the mutual fund world hypothetical illustrations. They are examples of returns or investments for either a lump sum principal or a stream of investments, which is another term for dollar cost averaging, which is probably, this is the one I like. It's not the same, but I like to use stream of investments. Or a combination. You got to be approved by the Securities and Exchange Commission, by FINRA, the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority. You must be licensed to show these things. And that's why if you go to a mutual fund company that doesn't go through brokers, doesn't go through representatives, they'll be very, very reticent. They might just say, we don't do it. Or they have to get somebody on the phone who is a registered representative because you can't show them unless you're registered. That's part of the legislation, part of the regulation. So let's take a look at some hypotheticals. And these are on the website for this mutual fund, for this particular mutual fund, the Investment Company of America. So these are realistic because how many people have an 85-year time frame, right? You millennials starting out at 20, you're probably going to be living at least to 100, 120, who knows. We'll see what happens. But here's $100 a month for 30 years in your 401k, don't show that, in your Roth IRA or a regular account, and we'll discuss those later on. Now, here's the scary part, right? They have to have all these disclaimers on them, right? This report is not complete unless all pages are noted above. Investments are not FDIC insured. See, it's dark. It's black. It's bold. Nor are they deposits of or guaranteed by a bank or any other entity, so they may lose value. Figures shown are past results and not predictive of results in future periods. So does anybody read all this stuff? No. But what it's trying to do is trying to tell you, hey, look, you ain't dealing with the bank. You can, you will lose money. There's times, especially if it's short-term time horizon, there's going to be times when you're going to learn. Lose. You're going to learn. So let's get it. That's all the scary part. And we go back to 1980. Why do you do that? How do you stop it? I don't know. We go back to 1989. Can everyone see that? Or should I make it a little bit bigger? I'll make it a little bit bigger. No, forget it. Go back. Okay, you're going to put $100 a month away. That's $1,200 a year. Some of you spend $100 a month on your cell phones, right? Nod your heads yes. Right? Yes. So people say, oh, where do I get the money to invest? Like, how much is your cell phone payment? They go, oh, okay. So here it is. Throughout the 90s, the market went in two directions, up and way up. And we got hit, but not very badly, in 2001, too. Here, see, it went down a little bit, 2001, and then a lot in 2002, and then bounced back 2003. And so we continue till 2007, when we had 67,000, and then we had 45. It's going to happen, folks. Are you ready? Are you going to be prepared? Are you going to be scared? Because as long as we stuck with it, we were back, because we're putting in $100 a month, we're back to where we were by 2012, almost in 2010 and 11. But then it's done very well since the Great Recession, and you've put in $36,000, what some people pay for a car, right, just over 30 years, and you've received $154,000. Not bad. You're $36,000 is what the car is worth in 30 years. Unless you were smart enough to choose a car. And so what do you see? Is anybody into cars? Anybody into investing in cars? Yeah? I mean, you got to know what you're doing, right? You got to know which cars to buy because most cars become worthless. But some. Now my buddy is Tom, who's really, he knows BMWs inside and out. He knows cars. He's saying Integra R, you guys know anything about the Integra, the 1980s Integra? He said, that's the one to buy. Buy an Integra R model. It's a Honda, so it'll be relatively reliable. But what do we see? We start to see, here's the roller coaster that stocks are, when we start to see that exponential curve, we start to see it go up. Is that really, let's see, the last year was, last 2008 was a little down. Are you excited about $154,000, though? Yeah? Is that how much you want? Oh, I forgot. Here, they're in my office. I forgot to bring them. You know where they are? They're right. Go in my office and turn to the right, and you'll see them. Okay, which key? This is the key. Okay, sorry. I meant to bring them over here. Okay, that's why I need to retire. I can't remember anything. What? I mean, I don't know. You're 23, you're starting 25. There's the magic number. Don't have to start right now if you're 18, 19, you're going through college. Don't think you have to start right away. Hey, $20 a month, could you afford that? Plenty of room over here. But say you're 25. In 30 years, you'll be 55. So you still have, you know, several years of work. So let's just extend our time horizon by 10 years. We'll do 40 years. And then here's the scary part. Be afraid. Be very afraid. And here we go. Now we start in 1979. Yes, they had mutual funds and stocks in 1979. Okay, so the 80s were a pretty darn good decade. There was the 1987, which doesn't even look like anything happened, but it was the biggest crash, one-day crash ever. And then the 1990s were up and way up. And so by 2000, we had $200,000. Not bad, right? And then 2 years later, we lost $40,000, but we didn't run, we didn't hide, because by 2003, we were back to where we were, and then in 2007, we had $310,000, and in 2008, we had $200,000. Any gasps? Would you run? Is it too late to get out? Yeah, it's too late to get out. But the last several years since the Great Recession have been pretty good. And so we put in $48,000, again, what some people pay for a car, over 40 years, and we now have $630,000. Not bad, huh? Could you be happy with that?
It gets better.
Here's the graph. And we see that, again, that it's a roller coaster, but it's exponential. It's sloping exponentially up. But now, here's the best part. Because this year, when you just start out, you're going to put $100 a month away. But next year, you get a raise or whatever, you're going to increase that $100 to $110. Okay, so the first year, $1,200. Next year, $1,310. So $100 a month is $1,200. $110, $1,310, $120. Two fewer trips to $5 per month. You just got to go to $5, $6. What's it called? Starbucks, right. Two fewer trips to Starbucks every month, every year, increasing that $100, $110, $120. Can you pull that off, right? Can you do that? Especially as your debts go down. Got them? Cool. Thanks. So sorry, Bob. And so we got to 2000 with $300,000. Thank you. And then we fell in 2002 to 255. And then we're back up. But this time, where was 2007? There's 2007. Almost $500,000. 325. But this time, from the Great Recession, we've put in $141,000. And I know it sounds like a lot of money, $141,000 over 40 years. It's a lot less than you're going to spend on cars. Really, folks, I mean, think about it. Especially if you want a snazzy car. But look, we put $141,000 in, we got $1,000,000. And some of you are going to be able to do more, especially if you... if you're married and both of you are contributing, if your 401k is matching, you know, the numbers just get kind of ridiculous, but it's impossible. I think it's pretty darn likely, because the next 20, 30, 40 years should be more prosperous than the previous years, and the previous years have been the most prosperous years in the history of the world. There's no guarantee. You know, we could die in our own ways, blow ourselves up, Ebola, meteorite, tsunami, earthquake, dam burst. Damn. And that's what a fish says when it runs into a concrete wall, swims into a concrete wall. Damn. Okay, and so, but what do you think? Is that good news? Yeah? Okay, now, the Gen Xers, you know, the later Gen Xers and the baby boomers come up and say, why didn't you tell me this 25 years ago? Where were you 25 years ago? Once you're into your late 40s, and that's when people start typically thinking, you know, I got to start worrying about retirement. Or in their 50s, then there's not much the stock market can do for you unless you're going to roll the dice and hopefully win. Probably won't. And so for them, what do they have to do? They might only have 20 years, good years, of being able to put money in. So let's say they put in $500 a month, whatever, into this particular mutual fund. That's $6,000 a year, which really, folks, that's what some people pay on their cars every year, right? Or more, a lot more. Actually, the average is like $9,000 people spend on cars. So that's $120,000 over 20 years. And they didn't do too badly, 7%. I mean, the last 20 years have been pretty rough for stock. But still, 7% is not bad. They only have $250,000. You see that? So that's when you get people coming up to you and go, what do I do? What do I do? I'm 50 years old. What do I do? Well, you got to put more away. And if they're married or if they have a pretty darn good salary, and it's time to stop going to vacations every other month, they can put $1,000 away. And so it's $12,000 a year, which sounds like a lot of money, but a lot of people do it. Over 20 years, that's $240,000. And it's not bad, you know, they did 7%, they got 500,000, but you see, as you get older, time becomes your enemy. Time's not on your side anymore. When you're young, time is your ally. Questions, thoughts, ideas? Is this cool? Yeah? We can now do a couple others if you want to see a couple others. We could do other illustrations. I have the magical machine right there, and we can run a few others. Anybody want to see any? Okay, what do you want to see? $200 a month? For 40 years? $200 a month? Okay, let's do that. Okay, so let's go to hypotheticals. Now, the magic of the internet. I don't know what's going on. Here it comes. Okay, how to present, continue to hypotheticals. Okay, so this is business 123, spring 2019. We'll do one investment. Systematic plan, start. Okay, and we'll do the same one, the Investment Company of America, the A shares. We'll start with $200 a month. Next. And we'll do this for 40 years. Next. And we'll put in $200 a month at the start of the month. Next. And now we want to go to portrait and preview results. Okay. So you put in, what did I do? Did I do 40 years? I did 40 years, $200 a month. So I put in 96,000, right, 48 times 2, 96,000, which isn't, I mean, over 40 years is not a lot of money. I know it sounds like a lot of money because you're not going to come over tomorrow, but over 40 years, then you got 1.3 million. Cool? Now, what happens on the downside? We usually wait till the end of the semester, but let's take a look at it right now because we have the machine right in front of us. What happens when we, what am I doing over here? Let's start over. And now, I want to erase all my entries and start over again. Now, we've talked about building it up, right? Let's do one investment. But now we're going to withdraw it. Because here is where we usually wait till the end, until after we have gone through the accumulation. We're going to spend most of our time talking about how to accumulate investments, but now you're not going to, you're going to now want to draw them down. You want to use it as a form of income. Now let's withdraw those investments. Let's see how much we want to start with. Okay? So how much, we'll do the same one, although you usually would not use, you're 65 years old, maybe 70, 60, whatever. You wouldn't just use a stock fund. This is a stock fund. You'd want to use something like a balance fund. So let's use the balance fund. What is a balance fund? Stocks and bonds. So let's be more realistic. We'll use the A shares. And how much do you want? How much is your nest egg? Is it 500,000? A million? Do you want a million? I know it sounds like a lot of money, but it's really, in the 121 class, we ask people, is that 10 million or one? There's 1 million. We ask people, what would you do with $1 million? And they're like, I do this, and then I invest in real estate, and then I just like, you don't have enough money. So now we're going, how much? 25 years in retirement? 25, is that cool? You're 65, we're going up to 90. All right, so next. Now, we have to decide how we're going to take the money out. You may have read this, you may have heard this on the Talking Heads. Many people start with the idea of taking 4% of their nest egg out every year. The one we saw in the handout I gave you, that was 5%. They did a 5% withdrawal. I like 4%. If you go above 5%, hear what they tell you. They say, an increased rate greater than 5% may increase the risk of depleting principal in down markets. So So let's use 5%. I like 5. I like 4% myself, but let's use 5%. And we're going to do it on the first day of the month. And we're not going to, yeah, we'll increase our withdrawals 3%. Why? Would not 5, 8, 11, no. Whatever we took out the first year, we're going to start increasing by 3% because that's what inflation has done over the last 50 years or so, 3%. So we'll increase our withdrawal by 3% a year. So next. The preview, everything look good? I didn't do the portrait. Preview the results. Come on, sweetheart. Okay. So again, be afraid, be very afraid. Now, we start with $1 million. We're set for life. Well, what's our annual withdrawal rate? You're only taking $40,000 out because that's 4% of a million, 4 or 5% of $1 million. The reason it's less than 50,000 is 4% of $1 million, 5%. I'm sorry, stop. We're doing 5%, right? We're doing 5%. Doing 5%. And $50,000 is 5% of $1 million, but we're not doing it for the whole year. We're starting on February. We missed January. So now, you see our withdrawals are increasing, right, as inflation goes up. But you're a millionaire. You're only taking out $50,000, $60,000 a year. Is that what you think a millionaire would do? You think they're going to take a couple hundred thousand dollars out, but then in 5 years, everything's gone. So $1 million ain't what it used to be. But look at what's going to the value. The value went down a little bit, 94, but it's been increasing slowly. Why? It's not a stock fund. It's a bond and stock fund. But look at what happens. Look at what happens. Because you have something that you thought would do better than 4 or 5%, you know, stocks and bonds, you know, 6, 7, 8%, this particular mutual fund is awesome. Balanced funds have no business doing 9%. I mean, I don't expect them to continue to do that in the future. In fact, I'm pretty sure they won't because bond yields are really low now. But you've taken out $1.8 million out of your original $1 million, and it's now worth almost $3 million. You see? What if we had just done bonds? Watch what happens if we had just done bonds. Are you enjoying this? Because we're getting a little ahead of ourselves, actually. But we're seeing the bigger picture. What if we had just done bonds? Let's go back. How do I do this easily? Previous. It might mess up. I might have to start all over again. Maybe not. Okay, 25 years. Okay, let's just do a bond fund. And this company has one very generically called the Bond Fund of America. They're real. This company, people say, they're boring. I say, boring is good. Okay, so everything looks cool. Next. So we had almost $3 million, right? We took $1.8 million out. So out of our $1 million, we're still going to take $1.8 million out. But look at what's left. Because we stayed with bonds over those 25 years, we did not get that growth element that stocks give us. And I'm going to tell you now. I usually wait till the end. Stocks have to do better than bonds. You're not allowed to say that. As a registered representative, you're not allowed to say that stocks have to do better than bonds. They have to. I'll say it. Over time, in any 1 year, in any 5-year period, 10-year period, bonds might do better than stocks. But over 20, 30, 50 years, stocks have to do better. And think about it. Why? Where do the interest payments from bonds come from? If it's a corporate bond, where do the interest payments come from? From the corporate earnings. If it's a muni bond, where do the interest payments come from? The taxes. If it's also a treasury bond, where do the interest payments come from? The taxes. So if the stock market crashes and falls and stays falling, and corporations are going out of business left and right, and schools are shuttered, and banks are shuttered, and people have lost their jobs, and the whole thing crashes, sure, the stock market's going to fall like like a house of cards. It's gonna be worthless or pretty darn worthless. But then bonds are gonna fall. They're not gonna be able to fulfill their obligations. Are you with me? Understand? And I'm talking about literally, you know, the collapse of our capitalist society. And I don't think it's gonna happen anytime soon. Someday we know it's going to dissolve. You know the world does end. You know that, don't you? You know, Mr. Musk wants to get out of here because he knows that the world's going to end. Because eventually, what happens to the sun? What's going to happen with the sun? It's going to get bigger and bigger, and then it blows up. It's going to get bigger, and then it's going to swallow up Mercury, and it's going to swallow Venus, and it may swallow up Earth, it may not. It may stop before it gets to Earth. But by that time, it'll be 1,700 degrees Fahrenheit on the surface of our planet, and we won't be able to be here anymore. But that's not for another 1 billion years, 2 billion years. So go talk to your astronomy folks to ask them when it's going to happen. I think it's 1.5 billion years or so. So we know that nothing lasts forever. But I'm very optimistic, actually. And I think stocks are going to do great over the next 20, 30 years. Okay? Cool. Anything else? All right, I'm done. Any others? Want to see anything else? Is that cool? Does this help? Yeah, balance. We'll go back to balance funds when we get old. Okay, so now, and so I've showed you ICA, Investment Company of America. Do I think it's a great mutual fund? Yes, I do. Do I think it's the, in fact, it's not the one I normally recommend personally to newer clients. Why? Because it's domestic. You know, 70 years ago, 60 years ago, 50 years ago, it was a great choice for people just starting out because most people just did not want to leave the confines of the United States of America. They were afraid of, and with good reason, of going outside the United States. But now the world is global. So what I normally recommend to people just starting out, I say you want a global fund. You want a global fund that's very much like this fund, that invests in companies that have their roots deep in the economy. Some are growing. Some are paying dividends, growth and income. But that's not the only one. Here are about 24, right? Not quite, mutual funds that have been around for over 50 years, and some of you have already seen this in the 121 class. We showed this in the 121 class. But look, 11.3, 11.4, 11.5, 10, 12, there's 12, Fidelity Contra. This guy, he's really sharp. If you want to look at a cool fund, look up Mr. Will Danoff, the Fidelity Contra Fund. He's getting old, right? I don't know if he's going to retire or not. This is an awesome fund. There's the Investment Company of America. T. Rowe Price. Look at T. Rowe Price. It's almost 13% since 1956. Templeton is another Franklin fund. There's the Vanguard Windsor Washington Mutual Investors Fund. It has nothing to do with the bank that's gone, which was a savings alone. But you see, I'm not trying to just sell you ICA. What I like about ICA is that it's been around for 80 years, and this piece right here. This, you're going to see, if you go through the industry, you're going to see people have copied this, because this thing has been around for decades. People who have copied that, because it's so awesome. Questions, thoughts? So, one thing about these, they're mostly all domestic-based, except for this guy right here. Because 50 years ago, 60, 70 years ago, most people just did not invest outside the United States. But now more and more, the world is global. Okay, so we've seen how great mutual funds can do. Some not so good, but some great, right? What about the investors? What about the people who actually put their money into the mutual fund and then the mutual fund invests in the stocks or the bonds? Well, not so good. What types of returns do many typical investors earn? The saying is, most mutual fund investors do worse than the mutual funds they invest in. And it's not just a saying, it's true. It's been shown statistically that people do worse than the mutual funds they invest in. Now, how can that be true? There's plenty of room, come on up, there's plenty of room. How could people do worse than the mutual funds they invest in? Yeah. They wait until the market does really, really, really well, right? And then these are net inflows and then net outflows. And then the yellow is the total return. So at the end of the 1990s, the market had gone in two directions, up and way up. And so what do you see people doing? flooding their mutual funds with cash. Right? Okay, here you go, guys. Come on. You've done so well over the last 10, 20 years. Continue to do well. But then the market went down 3 years in a row. Right? Because we say one, two, three, down. No, it doesn't work that way. It went up almost 20 years and then went down 3 years in a row. And then what do people do? After the market's gone down 3 years in a row, what do? These are outflows. They pull their money out. Ooh, is it too late to get out? And then what does the market do? And then what do people do? And what does the market do? And what do people do? You see, we're not rational beings. We like to think we are, but we're not. We're still animals. We see everybody running this way. We run that way. Like sheep, like humans. Because if you did I tell you this already? 100,000 years ago, if you didn't run that way, you're the one that got eaten, right? You're the one that got eaten. So, but now it's a different world. So many mutual fund investors buy high, sell low, when you really should be buying low, selling high. But most of us grunts are just going to be buying every month, $100, $200, whatever. So the bottom line of mutual funds, how are we doing? Great. Choose a fund family, stick with them. Reevaluate them periodically. I don't know, once or twice a year is enough. You know, I try to talk to people about once a year. But make changes judiciously. You like that word, judiciously and sparingly? As you approach retirement, migrate from stock funds to bond funds, but don't give up on stocks entirely, and dollar cost average, $50 a month, $100 a month for the most part. Forget about them. Don't be one of the mutual fund investors that does worse than your mutual funds. Cool? Okay, and that's chapter 4. Cool. So, next week, stocks. But first, we got to deal with this first. So, now, take out your packet. And we're now going to, I'll put it up on the screen also. We're now going to break into groups. Who needs their packet? I have some extras. Okay. Not that many. Matthew, Zach. Because we want you to take a look at the, where is it? A page. Where is it? Oh, see, this is what's happening. I got to tell you, folks. I can't believe it. This happened in the other class and happened in this class. This is what's getting old like, folks. Not good. Okay, let's go back. You're going to have to look it on the screen. Mutual fund case studies. This is supposed to be in your packet. Should I run and make copies? That's probably why that's like, you know what it might have? I might have had it upside down. It just copied a blank sheet. That's supposed to be where it is. Okay. Okay, who's here? Raquel Dominguez? Raquel? And Andreas? Andrea? Yes. My apologies. Your chapter 4 packet, but it's not in there. I think that it's supposed to be on the last page. It's supposed to be on the last page, and I might have had it upside down when I. do I have it in here? I'll pass this one around. It isn't really here. You can all share this one. No. So okay, here you are. You're an investment advisor at No Hope Financial. Below are three case studies. With your group, create a suggested allocation of mutual funds for each of the three case studies. How much would you allocate to each mutual fund from any lump sum the clients have? How much would you suggest they contribute each month? And how much would you suggest they allocate to each mutual fund from their monthly contribution? Explain the reasons you made your choices. So on the bottom is a list of the mutual funds. So we'll have this on the screen while you guys are working in groups. But how can we do this? I think we can do this by having two. That's a good idea, having two up on the screen. And then paste and go. All right, so I've got to make it bigger. My apologies. All right. So look, it shows them. Google Docs is a little strange sometimes. It does some strange things, but it's showing there's somebody else who's looking at it, but it doesn't know who it is. So it makes a picture called, it makes a giraffe picture. So let's make this guy out of here. All right, so these are the funds at your disposal. Get rid of that. Okay, these are the funds at your disposal. And now let's go back to, where did it go? Oh, where did it go? Okay, well, let's go. Okay. And then get this guy out of the way. Get this guy out of the way. All right. All right, so let's make this bigger. Get rid of this. All right, so here is the childless couple in their mid-40s. They come to you, you're a financial advisor. They have just received a $50,000 inheritance from their wife's parents. They say they will not need the money until retirement. They each make a respectable salary and already own their own home. They currently have no savings, and although each has a 401k program at their work, they've never taken advantage of it. The husband once lost all $15,000 of his inheritance playing the commodities future market. The idea of investing makes them very, very nervous. So you're a financial advisor. You're going to recommend to them what they should do with the $50,000.
What do they need to do with the 401k? Good start, right? Good start on the 401k.
And then you need to make suitable, that's the word we use, suitable, appropriate investments for them. So here are all the different choices. And remembering that there's lots of different rooms for choices. So if you can break up into groups of about three or four folks, we want you to do this. Don't worry about making mistakes. When you ask people to do this, they go, I don't know what to recommend. Right? Isn't that the way you feel right now? I don't even know what to pick for myself. Now you want me to recommend for somebody else?
Do you assume that they like have a retirement date, like you have a time frame?
They're in their mid-40s. What's their time frame? They got 20 years, right? Maybe 25 years until they're ready to retire. Are you with me? So is that a pretty good long time? Think about 20 years ago, the internet was, you know, we were in the middle of the internet bubble 20 years ago, and 30 years ago there wasn't internet, but it wasn't unleashed upon the world. So the world changes. There's going to be incredibly new technologies coming down the pike. Entire industries are going to disappear, and some are going to reappear, are going to appear. Okay, so do it, all right? Get in groups of about three or four people. And then take about 5 minutes or so. Don't overthink it. Talk it out amongst yourselves. What would you recommend they do with the $50,000? How would they get started on their 401k plan? Okay, so let's get together. Get together in groups. Three or four. Get together. Yeah. Meanwhile, I'm going to go make copies. My apologies. Oh boy. This is scary. Are you going to retire?
How about you?
I'm really torn. Financially, I should. Financially, it makes more sense. I'll make more money.
How long have you been here?
36 and a half years.
Oh, I've been only 17.
Oh, no. You got to stick around a few more years.
No.
You got to stick around a few more years.
Yeah, I mean, it just doesn't, you know, it doesn't match for me.
No.
No,
but I'll make more money.
Yeah.
By either not even working,
oh my God,
or working. But see, that's the thing.
You're only so young, so what are you going to do? You are very vital.
62. I'm 62.
In your mind, in your book, but not in you, right?
Oh, thank you.
Well, you know that. You know that right in your heart, right?
I'm health-wise.
With a beautiful puffer shirt on.
Thank you. Health-wise, I feel pretty good.
Of course.
But I'm becoming very forgetful. I just forgot to copy something from my suit.
It's because you have your mind on
But I think you can't teach for a year. And if you take the CERT, you can't teach for a year.
You're kidding me.
No, you cannot teach for a year. And unlike the Vercos, you're guaranteed 7 years. They have to invite you back. The superintendent president has to invite you back.
I don't like that.
I don't like it either. But I've already sent an email to a colleague of mine she used to teach here, but she's got a full-time position at City.
Okay.
I already sent an email to her saying, would you guys like it? I know she took my financial planning course.
Well, you don't want to stop teaching.
No.
You just don't want to start teaching so much.
I would like to teach fewer classes.
Yeah. Online, though, or?
Online or face-to-face. I love face-to-face.
Yeah.
Or online. But financially, I'll make more money if I retire.
Yeah, I'm not there.
Yeah, I know. A few more years.
Okay.
Just a few more years. Okay, did you do it? Did you get something? Did you guys get something? Okay. Get off that cell phone. Okay, one more minute on this one. Make your decisions. Yeah, it is. So you're going to put a little bit of spice.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Okay. Okay, here they go. You guys got it? You got it? All right. Okay, who's got the best plan? Who's got the best plan? You guys? Okay, put up on the board, please. Or just tell it to me. I'll put it up on the board. Can we pass these over to those? Okay. One. Three. Here you go. All right, so what's your plan? Adriano?
We had 10K in aggressive.
10K in the aggressive growth. Is that, that's a domestic, right?
Yeah.
Okay, domestic. Okay, what else?
And then 10K in the long-term bonds.
Oh, okay, long-term bonds. That's a bit of a barbell. Risky, not so risky, but long-term bonds are, you know, for bonds are fairly risky, yes?
Another 10 in the money market.
And there's the real risk averse. That's in case the furnace blows up or whatever.
And then 20 in the global index.
Oh, okay. Global, I like that. And the index fund, we like passively manage, so we don't have to worry. So what do you think, folks? Little bit of spice, 20%. In the aggressive growth. Now, what goes in their 401ks? You didn't get there yet. Okay. Anybody got this money in the 401k? What do you put in the 401k?
Well, we assume that they're in their home, that they're not paying a mortgage.
Oh, no. They have a mortgage. I should say that. They have a mortgage, yeah. I'm sorry. They're not. They don't own it outright. But they own a home.
They have two salaries.
They have two salaries. So what are they putting in the 401k?
They're each putting in
$1,000. Ooh, maybe that's a little much, but maybe you don't know what their salaries are. $1,000 a month into each 401k, so that's $2,000 a month, basically. You know, $1,000 and $1,000. So what's the allocation in the 401k?
To where?
Yeah, you got to choose. You didn't do that yet. Right? I don't know about you, but if I were, I just love growth and income. So if somebody were to ask you on an exam, what would you put stuff in? I just love growth and income. Especially for somebody, you know, just getting started. Yeah?
I was saying that since they're very, very nervous, so they'd be like you were saying when the market goes down 1 year, they'd be like, oh, no, just pull it out.
So yeah, so maybe this is a little bit much.
Yeah, I was thinking maybe for the 401k a balance fund.
Yeah. That might be better for them. But in reality, what these guys have done is made a balanced fund. They've got maybe a little bit too much, in my humble opinion, maybe 5K in the aggressive growth fund. So maybe they'll get excited. But they'll, you know, but when the market crashes, here's their airbag. Money market is like an airbag. You crash, the money market goes. So the money market doesn't go down. And they can look, oh, yeah, look, the money market. Don't look at this. Don't look at this. So cool. But a balance funds are cool, folks, especially for folks who are frightened. Cool. Okay, let's do another one now. Well done. I know, don't worry about being perfect, really. Here's a young woman in her early 20s. She's just graduated. She's landed a job as an elementary school teacher. She has $18,000 in student loans. Is that typical? Yeah, it is. Sometimes it's a lot more. That is. I'm sorry. Yeah, you're right. In other words, it's too low. It's too low. Well, stick with us, Southwestern. Okay, we'll help you have not. We'll help you have as few dollars as possible in loans. Her father is hounding her to start a retirement program now, because she is a teacher at a public school. She is eligible for a 403B. Very similar to a 401k. It's just a different section of the Internal Revenue Code. There's a few differences, but they look very similar. She knows absolutely nothing about investing, but her father's been investing for many years, told her she needs to start learning now. She has no immediate plans for marriage, starting a family, or buying a home. Okay, so take about 5 minutes, and what would you do with her? She's just starting out. Okay?
She can be more aggressive.
But she's frightened. Okay. Remember, you're right, though. You're absolutely right, Aram. She can be more aggressive. Yeah, I'm getting forgetful. Forgetful piano. How much money do I make? They pay us about 17 and a half cents an hour here, so. Yeah, it's not bad. It's what they start at the prison. The prison. Oh yeah, they make anywhere between 17 cents to a dollar an hour. They max out at a buck an hour.
Did they go fight fires? You heard about that?
Did they really send them to go fight fires?
They paid them to fight fires, like something like a dollar an hour or something.
That's really dangerous. Yes, firefighting is dangerous. You know, people are like, oh, I'm a firefighter. It's dangerous. Do you understand what you're up against? Did they train them or something? You know what? You know,
I would do it.
No.
I would do it if I was stuck in prison.
You don't know what you're up against. Probably what they did, they were way away from the fire, and they were just clearing away brush. Yeah, they were not in the fire dealing with the. Yeah, no. No, I mean, it's really dangerous. Yeah. There's guys and gals who they parachute them in. They die. They die. They don't always survive. Okay, how we doing? How are you going to start her out, huh?
We want to be a little risky for her.
I know, but she's a little frightened.
We said they offer her alone first, and then she can start doing the...
But that's going to take 10 years for her to pay off the loan. She can't put 25 or 50 bucks a month away while she's paying off the loan?
Okay.
Okay. Make it 100. Hey. But remember, there's the intellectual part of investing, and then there's the emotional part of the investing. Okay, what are you guys going to do? Where are you going to put her?
Are we doing the same 50K thing again?
No. She's just starting out. She doesn't have 50,000.
We started, taking it maybe $100 an hour now.
If she can swing 100, if she can't.
Well, she's a teacher. They can push it up.
Okay. It's all right. You know, you're comfortable.
She works 7 months out of the year.
No, it's more than 7 months out of the year. But you're right. Summer's off. You cannot put a dollar value on that.
You see what I'm saying?
I'm sitting in Zihuatanejo underneath the palapa, drinking papaya licuados, and I'm thinking, but I'm still preparing for the next semester when I'm there.
Right.
I got my laptop. So teaching is great, but you don't make a whole lot of money.
Here's what we say, level.
Okay.
Because she's young, she can take risks. So out of that 100, we're going to put 50 in aggressive growth in national and tech sector and stuff like that so that she can take risks. She can stand it. But to offset that, we're going to put 20 short-term bonds.
They're like money markets. They look like money markets, yeah.
And then 30 in global growth and income.
Okay, all right. But you got to, okay, so here, okay, so let's do that. It was $50 in aggressive growth international.
Well, mostly like a trading, like a UCI, is what we were really
some kind of aggressive growth, global or international. And then 20 bucks into short-term bond funds?
Right.
Okay. And then what was the $30 in?
Growth
and then global. Yeah, cool. Okay.
She's got long term and But most of it, like a short-term bug, interest income, it helps offset the loss of the rest of growth. That way, you see actually.
So, okay. Here's not a bad one. Not bad. Well, again, I heard a few people say, oh, she's young. She could be really aggressive. I go, okay. But remember, there's an intellectual side. Yes, we know you got long-term and aggressive's going to do better. But there's an emotional side. So what did they do? They put $50 into the aggressive growth, global or international. But then here's her airbag. $20 in the short-term bond fund. Now, I would be a little bit more conservative personally, but that's, And then $30 in the mainstream global growth and income. So there's the airbag in case things go bad. Lee, any others? What else we got? Who else wanted to? Okay, what do you got here? Into all balance, yeah, $100 a month to get started. And as this is it's a great beginning for people who are terrified. Balance funds are really good. Personally, I think it's way too conservative for her in her young time. I would usually say growth and income to get started, maybe equity income. But a balance fund is an awesome choice for people who are terrified because you got that balance. Stocks often do well when bonds are not doing well or going down and vice versa. And then what was the idea? Was just leave it there?
Yeah.
Just leave it there. And maybe, after a couple of years, how's she done? If she's still... this is it. After a couple of years, and maybe the market's gone down 20%, how did you react? Ask them. You ask them, how did you react? And if they say, oh, I don't even look at it. Hallelujah! Okay, now it's time to be more aggressive because they didn't even look at it. And you recommend that they sign up for email delivery? And delete the email. Don't look at your account. Yes.
We came upon the $100 number as what we consider
investment
to allow her to aggressively pay off her student
loans. Right, exactly. She's going to pay. You don't have to aggressively pay off your student loans, but you can. You're going to pay that off in 5, 10 years, and it will be. That's a manageable student debt. It's when you see people $180,000. Oh, yeah. But yes. So if, on the other hand, if they say, I just delete the email, I don't even look at it, I didn't check, then you go ahead, you can bump them up, you can be more aggressive. If they say, oh my goodness, I lost $20, I lost $100, you don't know how much I lost, then they need to be balanced or buy, maybe even, no, somebody at that point. Anybody else? Anybody else? What did you give them? Gang, what did your group give them? Give her.
For a
403B, what investment did you choose? Did you choose one of the mutual? You didn't choose one of the mutual funds? Okay. You got to choose, right? You got to choose. Okay, now, third one. Okay, we got a couple more minutes. Let's do the third one. The third one is tough. This is tough, folks. This is what you're going to run across, people who have really strapped for disposable income. A divorced couple in their mid-30s are worried about sending their kids to college. They have two children, ages 2 and 7. Neither is remarried. They have joint custody. So far, the divorce has been amicable, meaning they're not throwing knives at one another. Although both are working, neither has a 401k plan. The father just received $10,000 from an accident settlement. They both say that money is tight. Neither has a large amount of disposable income. What would you do with them? What could you recommend to them? Well, they have to invest separately, right? They're not married anymore. But they're trying to work together for the children. They're trying to say, what should we do for the children?
So were you working with $10,000?
And then what can you, they don't have much money, but can they put $50 a month away? Could you get started on something? No. Small, yeah. They could just get started with something. This was your ironic. If you can get people to just put $25 in the... Just put $25. All right. How much is your... Can you, and that's one in 121. Remember the cash flow statement? We give them a cash flow statement. We want you to work on this. Where could you cut things out? Oh, yeah, I got a storage location. I'm paying $90 a month. What's in it? Junk. Okay. See, that you know, people are not good with their money. We know this, right? That's why we have financial planners, that's why we have financial planning and money management. Okay, speed this one up. What'd you guys do with her?
I don't know, I don't have an answer yet, but we were thinking something a lot safer because they don't have a lot of disposable income and they got young children.
Yeah.
And money's tight.
So can they put $50 a month away?
That's what we're
doing. Right. Where would it go?
That's where we're going right now.
Money match. They have 10 years, 15 years. 10 years for the first one, 15 for the second one. A balance fund would be a good choice. Equity income. Hey, what you guys got here? How about it, Kyle? What do you think? You got nothing? You don't want to try? Don't worry about being perfect. You're not alone. Everyone has that same feeling. I don't know. What do I do? What do I do? Okay, what do you guys got? What are you going to do with her?
$5,000 in the money market and $5,000 in the global growth.
Okay, it's called a barbell. Let's do that one. Okay, this is called a barbell. Okay. Okay, let's take a look at this one. This has a name. It was the global growth. Was it the global growth? Yeah. Okay, attention, because we're almost done. We got to get out of here. This has a name. And I'm not a very good drawer, so I hope it looks like a barbell. But this is sometimes called a barbell approach. You have something that's, you know, fairly risky, global growth fund, and then something that's incredibly unrisky. So you have the riskiness on one side and the not so risky. Now, how much are you going to have them put away? $25, $50 a month, balance fund, equity income, growth and income. Okay, so this, there might be something like this on the exam. Please don't worry about being perfect, about what you're going to say. People just get, they just get that deer in the headlights and they leave it blank. Don't leave it blank. As long as it's reasonable, which means there's a wide range of things that you can do with it. Well, this is all online, by the way. There's a commentary and stuff. So Thursday, study. Don't cram. Do your one page of notes. Pass these guys up unless you absolutely positively promise you'll bring it back in a couple of weeks, because pretty soon it's going to be obsolete. I've got to throw them away. But by mid-March, they'll have these. This company is really slow. They move so slowly. Yeah. Thank you. Okay, study. Get a good night's sleep.